Welcome to the Approaching the Natural podcast with Sid Garza-Hillman and sponsored by the Stanford Inn Eco Resort on the Mendocino coast of California. Sid is a certified nutritionist, health coach, and author of Approaching the Natural, a health manifesto, out now on Roundtree Press. Sid is also the programs director at the Stanford Inn's Mendocino Center for Living Well, one of the most holistic and integrated wellness centers in the country. The Approaching the Natural podcast explores all aspects of human health, including nutrition, movement, mindfulness, art, and much more.
Hello, Small Steppers. This is Sid Garza-Hillman, the Small Step Advocate, with you once again for the Approaching the Natural podcast. Welcome back, or welcome if this is your first time. To all of you, go back and listen to other episodes, if you please. This is episode number 42. We're getting up there. We're getting old. We're growing old together, which is elegant and lovely, and it's been great fun so far. So thank you to those of you who are, you know, with me each week and everybody else, you know? Getting all sentimental. Don't know where that came from. Let's get into it. I did a talk today. It's called Grow Biointensive. Very cool thing. It's this. The Stanford Inn, which is, by the way, I'll weave this on in here. The Stanford Inn does sponsor this podcast, and that's stanfordinn.com. It's where I work. I head up the wellness center there, the Mendocino Center for Living Well. And on the side, in case you're just joining me, I take on private clients. A very few number at a time on purpose. And you can find out about me at sidgarzahillman.com. You can also put your email in there for a free chapter, which I see people doing, which is very cool. I hope you enjoy that of my book, Approaching the Natural Health Manifesto. And you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, Sid Garza-Hillman, on all three of those. Anyway, the Stanford Inn hosts, there's an organic farm on the property that brings up a lot of produce to the restaurant at the Stanford Inn, Raven's Restaurant. But there's also a research garden on the land that Joan and Jeff Stanford host. And there's a guy named, he's become a buddy of mine, his name's Matt Druno. He's the manager of that research garden. And, excuse me. And he and the Stanfords host interns throughout the year. As part of this program. And basically the aim of this program is to learn how to grow as many calories as possible in a very small space of land. And what they've been able to achieve with this garden and the others around the world is nothing shorter than amazing. And it's all self-contained. I don't want to go into it too much. In fact, you guys should go back and listen to my interview with Dana Eckelberger. I think it was like episode 11 or 12 where we discussed gardening and the health of the, you know, soil. But essentially grow biointensive, and it's also the guy who heads this up, his name's John Jevons. And he wrote a book years ago called How to Grow More Vegetables, and it's become a bestseller. And he has this group. And so we spoke today. I think there was like 30, 40 kids there. Not kids. Some of them, they range in age. But they're all students in this program. And they basically learn these tools and these techniques and take them back to their countries and what they're trying to do is increase the yields of their gardens. And it's kind of a mind blower. I got to tell you, like it was, they asked me to come and talk about nutrition, talk about plants, and for Jeff and me to talk about the environmental impact of some of the foods that we eat. And so we did that. But I've actually learned a ton from that whole gardening program. It is a mind blower. And if you ever want to look into it, you can email me podcast@sidgarzahillman.com. And I can kind of point you the way. It was just pretty fascinating and what they've been able to do. And it's all self-contained. Their research gardens are self-contained. So they're growing plants to eat, but they're also growing plants to put back into the soil as compost. And so they don't have to use any external compost. Their yields blow anything that's GMO or conventional out of the water. Their yields are way far and above. and it is going to be eventually what the model that we're going to have to go to becomes. In fact, John Jevons told me today that Japan, the average lot size per person. The average space of land per person is like 1,000 square feet, and it's simply become not enough to produce the food that they need to feed their people. They literally have to import food now. And this is kind of going there. So, you know, just throwing it out there, kind of amazing to me, this direction. It's very small in its growth, but it is growing, and these kids are going back to their countries. And we even had interns last year, Sri Lanka, and I think it was Chile, I can't remember, somewhere in South America, and went back to their governments and are working with their governments to introduce this small-scale style of farming with incredibly high yields and making, you know, people more self-sufficient. Self-sufficiency, interesting. Kind of a recurring model in this podcast, a recurring theme of taking care of yourself and not needing anybody else to do that. And that will lead me into today's theme and subject, whatever it's called. Mm. So I got back from that today. Spoke for 3 hours. That takes a lot out of you and a lot out of me. Anyway, so what else? Okay, so a couple little other quickie things. If you dig this podcast, throw me a review on iTunes. That's very helpful. Thanks to everybody who came out for last weekend's Spreecast. It was very fun, mostly because it worked. So that was positive. The one before that in June just didn't. And it worked if you like seeing a black screen and not hearing me, in which case it was probably fabulous. But if you actually joined the Spreecast to ask me questions and hear them answer and see me answer them, that was kind of a letdown. But in July, it worked. And we had a lot of fun, a lot of good questions. And anyway, so long and short of it is next, the first Saturday of every month, right? August 2nd is our next one, 11 a.m. Sign up now. It's free. It doesn't cost anything. There's no selling anything. Literally, you sign up, you spend an hour with me, write in some questions, Jiminy Christmas. How can that be bad? Bring your mother, father, son, daughter. Make a day of it. No, it's an hour. But bring your questions, because it is really fun. Okay, so on the most important front, t-shirts. Okay, they're for sale. I lowered the price. I think I was going out too much for them. They are organic cotton. I want to stress that, and I didn't do a big run, so my cost per shirt is pretty hefty. However, I have lowered it, and they're like $20, $20.95, almost $21. I mean, that's, you know, whatever. I hope it's good. But anyway, I hope you dig the shirt. I love the shirt. I love it more than anybody else listening to this. That may be. Open to that possibility, in which case I'm just going to wear every shirt I have. I'm just going to put a different one on every day. Drive a different car every day of the week, depending on how I feel. Anybody Tom Waits fans out there? Okay. Christmas card from a hooker in Minneapolis. One of the best songs ever written. I don't know how that came up. Literally not on my notes at all. Was not like I'm going to mention the word hooker in my podcast. That was not on the to-do list. What else? My journaling update. This podcast is almost like a verbal journal. Anyway, but for those of you just joining me, there's been kind of this ongoing thing. I am the small step advocate, so I discuss week to week, informing you of things that add to your life and moving you to adding things in are a little more natural to you by degrees, so that you can still exist as a natural animal, excuse me, in this unnatural world. One of the things I talk about every week and a lot is paying attention, how to learn to pay attention through what I call imminent meditation, through things like journaling. And with my own life, journaling has played a role in the past, and it's something I wanted to reintroduce. So I took my own advice. But initially, I thought that I could do a bigger step than I obviously was able to take on. And I recalibrated. I didn't say, well, then I can't do it at all. I said, okay, well, that's too big. Let me bring that back down. It got so small that it was about me buying a little journal for $5, a stack of them actually, and putting it in my pocket. And that was a way that reminded me to journal. I've been journaling almost every single day. I've typically been missing one day a week, just because I get busy, right? Not an excuse. I want to be clear about that. It's just I'm working through this. I don't want to be militant to where I'm feeling bad about not doing it every day, but at the same time, I would like to to build in this behavior most days. And so this last week, I noticed myself really thinking about journaling. Just kind of just during the day, I'd be like, oh, I should sit down and journal. And I would sometimes everything. So I got a little conky. I thought, okay, well, I don't need to put the journal in my pocket anymore. Like, I've got the behavior down. It's there. And lo and behold, got out away from me. I think it was like one or two days in a row that I didn't journal. And again, what do? I go, okay, there's no failure. I want everybody listening to this to be clear. This is why I do this podcast every week. And this is why I think this podcast is necessary every week. This is not delusions of grandeur. Okay, I'm not like, you cannot live without this podcast. I'm talking about if you are in the small step philosophy, if you are part of the small step revolution, if you are introducing steps into your life to achieve greater health and happiness, then if it's not from this podcast, you still need a constant reminder when you wake up every morning, period. You need a constant reminder. Why? Because the world is not set up for you to pay attention. The world is not set up for you to eat healthy food and be surrounded by healthy food that's affordable. You're not surrounded by motivations to move your body. There's no reason in the modern world to move your body. It takes effort and it takes attention. And so this podcast every week is, I'm going to hammer these things home and tell you what I tell myself. It is not failure to recalibrate. It is not failure to be aware and recognize when you are not achieving what you are setting out to achieve. It's not failure. It's, okay, that didn't work. Let me try this. In this case, I know what works. When I put the journal in my pocket, I journal. Period. That's just what's been happening. I've learned that. So when I leave it out of my pocket to think, okay, I think I'm kind of there. I got it. And I don't go, well, I'm a crappy person. I go, okay, back to it doesn't cost me anything to put the journal in my pocket. There's no effort. Now, where that can apply in things like eating is having, you know, fresh vegetables in your refrigerator. Put them in a place that is visible as soon as you open that refrigerator. Leave yourself a note inside that refrigerator. I am not joking. Do you know why it takes this level of effort? Which, by the way, doesn't really take a lot of effort to write a note and tape it to a shelf in a refrigerator. But do you know why that is? Because when you get home from the end of the day and you've had a stressful day at work, which we all do, or stressful days with whatever, and we're in that mindset and we're thinking about work, we're not thinking about our health and happiness, we're not in that awareness present state, our natural design is one to go to the best source of calories with the least amount of effort expended. And when you open your refrigerator, if there's fruits and vegetables hidden in the back of a drawer, but in the front is a hunk of cheese, what do you think your body is going to go for? The question for you is, what is the long-term benefit? What is going to make you happy? And I'm going to get a little bit deeper later into pleasure. Well, I'll get into it now. Just be aware of the difference between pleasure and happiness, okay? Don't mistake pleasure for happiness. It's okay to desire both. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying understand the difference between pleasure and happiness, because how I see pleasure is it's a in-the-moment experience, an experience of pleasure. Eating that cheese may give you pleasure. But if you think that that's going to give you happiness, that's when we get into this cycle of needing more and more to give us pleasure, because in a sense we're trying to become happy through pleasure. And what that means, essentially the way I see it, is we're trying to link up as many moments of pleasure as we can, thinking that constant pleasure equals happiness. And so we go from meal to meal while we're eating what I call more light box foods. Okay? Foods that are not serving us long term, not making us happy, but giving us pleasure in the moment that we eat them, but maybe not otherwise. And, you know, some of us go to drugs and alcohol. It is a drawn out, it's an extended pleasure. And we try to extend those times. And then as soon as we wake up from the alcohol stupor the next morning, and then we kind of have to face reality, we're going to look for things to bring us back into that pleasure realm. The same thing goes for food. The same thing goes for, in a sense, in a weird way, diets. Give us this little burst of pleasure. It gives us this little excitement in our lives that we all long for, and we're not bad for wanting this. We all do it. But the point at the beginning of this process of small stepping your life into greater balance is to be aware of the things that give you pleasure and the things that give you happiness. The things that give you pleasure and the things that give you happiness. Things that, like, I have clients and they go, well, I'm going to this party. And I go, remember, whatever you eat there, it's fine. Don't get on yourself. But remember what it is that you're getting from that party. Maybe you get pleasure from the food, but you're getting this experience that is a memory created. It's being with people that you love. And if the food in your life is causing your body to be unhealthy and out of balance, understand that that food that you keep eating isn't making you happy long term. It's not making you happy long term. And that can, by the way, that can, I'm going off talk, but it can go for the people in your life too. Maybe there's people in your life who don't make you happy. I think it's a good question to ask yourself. What are the things in your life that give you short-term pleasure versus the things in your life that give you long-term happiness? And it is the balance of those two things. It doesn't mean, you know, all or nothing. In fact, I'm like the opposite of all or nothing. I'm not an all or nothing advocate. Okay? I'm not an all or nothing advocate because it gets us into trouble. I mean, that's that is one of the major problems that that occurs for us modern, whatever we are, animals in the modern world, is this kind of like, we go all the way to the diet and then we burn out and we do nothing. We go all the way to the fitness plans and then we do nothing. Right? Okay. So the difference between pleasure and happiness. Understand what that is. Journaling doesn't, It actually, I feel pretty good while I'm doing it, but it definitely creates a long-term happiness for me. It is setting my mind in a place of, I hate this word, but I got to get the old thesaurus out, but empowerment. It is putting things on paper that I am working through, dealing with in ways that increase the clarity in my mind about those things. There's something about seeing those things external on a piece of paper that go, okay, I can kind of look at them in a way that when they're swirling in my brain with the 8,000 other things that are swirling around in there, I lose a little focus. I can't focus because I got to do other stuff. But I write that moment that I'm writing it down. Sometimes it's just a moment, guys, but it's external to me. If journaling doesn't work for you, fine. This isn't about journaling. And I really want to make that point too. Is what I've said is what I'm trying to teach everybody that listens to this podcast and the people that I work with on a private basis is how to think. How to think about your health and happiness. The things that you want in your life, I don't tell you those things. I train you to take control of your life so that you can decide the things that are important to you in your life, the things that make you happy, and the things that give you pleasure. I mean, let's all face it. If we're just going for pleasure, just take drugs. I mean, that's, take drugs. The reason why most of us don't take drugs is because we understand that leads us down a path where we're not going to be happy in the end. We don't want to be beholden to something that is going to severely damage us. And yet, food in a much more subtle way does exactly that. Light box foods do destroy us physically. We are beholden to them, many of us. We are addicted to them, many of us. We all go to them as a distraction from reality, many of us. We all have a hard time giving those things up. And we do for diets because that makes us feel empowered, but it's not actually empowering. We can do diets because they're short-term. And we know there's an end. We know there's an end. You show me a diet book that lays out your diet and it says, you're just going to do this for the rest of your life. You show me that diet. We're going to map out your days, day one through day 1,004,002. Okay. For the next 1,000,000 days, you're going to do this. How many people would sign up for that? That's not sexy. That's almost as least sexy as the small step philosophy. But my philosophy works. Why? Because you're entering your life every day thinking about your own health and happiness as a backdrop to all the things that you do in your world. And understanding that the two are not mutually exclusive. You don't have to either think about your health and happiness or live in the modern world. Think about your health and happiness or have a job. Think about your health and happiness or have kids or a relationship. They're not either or. They're not either or. You're constantly in this world of like, hey, I have a job, I have kids, I have a relationship, I'm super busy. What's the best I can do for myself today? In this context, what's the best I can do for myself today? Well, I've been eating foods that are really heavy box most of the time, and sometimes I just want a little treat. Okay, cool, have a treat. But I don't do that most of the time because that upsets my balance, and I've found a good balance, and I'm in a good place. My body's healthy. I feel really good most of the time. I feel awesome. Once in a while, I have XYZ as a treat. Or I'm having XYZ most of the time, and I'm looking for those moments of pleasure, but in between those moments of pleasure, I ain't feeling that good. My body doesn't look good. It's not healthy. It's not functioning well. I'm not thinking that well. My mood is affected. We talked today in the talk that I did with the Grow Biointensive about bacteria in our guts and how it literally affects your mood. And of course, we related it to the soil health. Right, they're growing plants. They talk about growing soil. And yet many of the people in that room are eating diets that don't grow the good bacteria in your guts. And that affects your mood and your immune system and your ability to absorb nutrition through your colon. And these are the people that are going back to their countries. And we're going, you better live the example if you expect to affect your country. You're not going back to talk to Uncle Ted. You're going back to teach farmers in your country how to grow sustainable. In, I mean, a real sustainable way. Not like, hey, man, it's sustainable, man. I mean, like, sustainable. Like, our food supplies are dwindling. Like, we can't sustain feeding our species at the rate that we're doing it right now. We have very inefficient models in place. We have to change the way we think. My argument is that the health of the human species is first and foremost in affecting that change. It starts with you. How many times have I quoted Albert Schweitzer? Example isn't the main thing in influencing others. It's the only thing. I can sit here every week and talk to you about small steps and talk to you about the natural design. But if I can't do that myself, if I'm not doing it myself, if I don't practice what I preach, do not listen to this podcast. Go find somebody else who is authentic. That's my message for you. You know, don't judge, man. Don't judge. You know what? Judge me. I'm asking you to judge me. If you think I'm full of crap, tell me. And I might go, well, actually, no, that's not, your assessment's not correct. Or I might go, holy, geez, you, yeah, nailed. I hope. I mean, that's the kind of guy I would like to be. That's the kind of man I would like to be, where I'm taking steps even to that end with journaling, being more aware of my behaviors. So that if somebody does point out something, I go, yeah, you know what? You're totally right. Totally right. I mean, not to dwell on the t-shirts, but that was one thing. Like, Jeff was like, you know, you should order organic cotton. And I was like, no, it's expensive. He's like, that's what you stand for. And I was like, you're totally freaking right. It's those little, like, okay, I could put walls up and I could squash that down and, you know, all, you know, compartmentalize it and live in conflict, and my body would be under stress unnecessarily, everybody. Okay? You do the best you can in the small step approach. You do the best, you get up in the day, every day, and you do the best you can, and you understand for real. That your best that day is good enough. There is no other best. It's you. It's not your best compared to the diet or compared to the fitness plan or compared to the thing external to you that tells you what's perfect and what's not perfect, and therefore your best is not good enough. If you come out your life with, I'm going to do the best I can today and I'm not going to eat ice cream and everything else, and you do eat ice cream, that's the best you could do. That doesn't mean you throw in the towel. That means you go, okay, I mean, this is where I am. That's where I'm at. That's the best I could do. I'm doing the best I can today. And you understand that where you want to be, who you get to know through this process, who you really are deep down. You get to know through this process who you are deep down. And you're taking steps to get to closer to that person that's already there because you already have those values. If you're overweight and you want to be thin and healthy, it's because you value thin and healthy. That's who you are. Those are values you hold. You just got to figure out a way to get there. I think I have the solution. If you don't think I have the solution, don't waste your time. Okay? Don't let my, you know, sexy voice draw you every week. Don't come here just for that. Yeah. Anyway, so journal's back in my pocket. You see how I did that? Full circle. Boom, right back there. I wanted to touch upon this sort of like idea of, have you ever heard somebody go like, that person got cancer and they were doing everything right? Okay, this came up just at like a gathering yesterday, but also a friend of mine who I worked with a few years ago, I don't want to go into too much details, but very young age, got diagnosed with cancer. Okay. And this is not like doing everything right in that situation, but I guess it's hitting me because I try to make this process fun, but I don't want to belittle the process itself as either. So I hope that I come across every week in a, not in a serious way, but with a serious subject. And that is that all of you that are listening to this are going through the same things, because we all as human beings are having similar struggles in the modern world. The way I see it is because we haven't gotten adjusted to it yet. I mean, as weird as that seems, like the modern world, sort of cities and, you know, travel and all the things it's for going on for years. But we haven't evolved to being presented with this level of caloric abundance. Our bodies have not adjusted to Twinkies and white sugar and white flour and intense amounts of protein. We have not adjusted to that. We haven't adjusted to not needing to move our bodies. We haven't adjusted to being separated from our tribes, living anywhere in the world. We haven't adjusted to being able to go anywhere in the world in a matter of hours, and our bodies land somewhere and go, oh my God, I'm in a totally, it's like time travel for our bodies. It's like time travel. Our body's like, this should have taken me like 2 years to get to this place. And I just got here in a 14-hour plane ride. And the body goes, I need to adjust. I've talked about this before. It's our body. Our bodies have not adjusted. We are all going through essentially the same kinds of struggles, which is that to succeed, truly to succeed, and I want to talk about what does succeeding mean. It means living happy. It means having a happy life. I mean, really, really, guys, it's about having a happy life. It's about not being miserable and angry and resentful all day. It's living happily. I mean, that's what we're designed to be after. I mean, that's what we're about. And I want to make sure that you understand that I think the process is fun. I think it can be fun. Sorry, but I do. Maybe that makes me totally weird, but you know, we already know I'm totally weird, so that's fine. But the subject matter is serious, and that is that we are struggling as a species and we are not succeeding as a species. We are not getting less violent. We are not getting less sick. We are not having more energy. We are not getting less heavy. We're not having less occurrences of major diseases. We're not getting less polluted. I mean, the direction of our species and of the Earth as a result in large part of our species is pretty shocking, to be honest. We are looking for essentially the same things. We want happy lives. We want lives with family and friends and experiences so that when we finish our lives, we look back with fond memories and we don't look back with regrets and we don't look back with resentments and we don't look back with grudges and we don't look back with anger and we don't look back with sickness and disease and heartache. What we want is to look back and say, that was fun. I had some rough times, but I got through it. I was stronger as a result of it. I shared experiences with people that I love. What else is there, everybody? And when we get diagnosed with a major disease, most of us are like, tell me what to do. Tell me what to do. Tell me what to eat. I will eat that. We want that to go away. And that just, to me, shows the value of food at the end of the day is pretty low on the totem pole. As soon as we get diagnosed, and I've seen this, unfortunately, with people that come to me, they've just been diagnosed with whatever. They're ready, man. They're not like, hey, I just got diagnosed with, you know, stage 4 cancer, but listen, I still want to eat everything I've been eating. They're like, what can I do? They're what? They're holding on to the things all of a sudden that they realize are of true value to them in their lives. They want to live. They want to experience. Food becomes whoop-de-frickin-do. They don't care. That shows to me that food for many people, and of course, I've had the same experiences, is a distraction sometimes from reality. And all I'm saying is to be aware of that as best you can. To be aware and look at that as best you can, because that allows you to make small changes over time to get yourself a little bit more in balance. It's not all or nothing. It's not saying giving up the pleasurable foods. It's saying putting them in a context so that you're delivering yourself now a life of better quality most of the time, of happiness most of the time, with scatterings of pleasure. I mean, maybe I'm just in this headspace. I obviously am. Okay. One thing I want to talk about was back to the journaling thing, but I want to draw this in sort of a broader way, which is that through this podcast and the tools that I'm hoping you're getting, you're learning. Remember I said about the note in the refrigerator? Essentially, one way to look at what I advocate for and teach is that when you are aware, those moments of awareness, when you're journaling, those moments of awareness where you wake up in the morning, and like I said, I have a lot of my clients text me first thing in the morning because I want them to wake up and not just wake up and sort of robotically go into the kitchen and do whatever they're doing, brush their teeth, and they're going on to work, and they're just like in it. But I want that, just that 5 seconds. I never ask my clients, by the way, for any major amounts of time. Like you can work with me and nobody you know knows that you're working with me. You can get away, you know, whereas diets, right? Everybody knows you're on a freaking diet, right? Because you're going to the company lunch and you've got the Tupperware of, you know, cucumber sticks. And I was like, what are you doing? Well, I'm on a 21-day diet. Training for a race and everybody knows you're training for a race, which is fine. If you enjoy it, it's great. It's fantastic. But they know. It's external. But if you're walking down your hallway, nobody's going to go, hey, Rick, look at Rick. Guy must be training for something. He's walked down the hallway with a stalk of celery in his hand. Hey, Rick, what are you training for? I'm training for you not to be in my house while I'm walking down the hallway. That's what I'm training for. Okay? Now, Rick was played by me in that case. Okay? Rick is one of my favorite characters that I do. My point is that what I'm trying to teach you is that in the moments that you are aware, that is when you have to take advantage of that awareness so that you're covered. Stay with me. So that you're covered when you're not aware. You take advantage of when you're aware so that you're covered when you're not aware. Here's what I mean. in the morning, I have over time built in the behavior of kind of just having a moment to be like, okay, do I got all my stuff? What do I got? What do I got to do? What's my kind of the plan for the day? How can I've got this going on. I want to eat the best I can. I feel really good. How's my, just, you know, this is all like a 20-second thing. But in that awareness, that's when I grab my journal and stuff it in my pocket. Why? Because later in the day, I know enough about my life such that when I get out there in the world, all of a sudden, it's a cluster, you know what. Okay, this is a podcast for kids. I'm keeping it clean. Everybody, okay? That was a Tom Waits song. That was a Tom Waits song. I was like, get mad at Tom. Yeah, I didn't name the song that. Because they're harsh. When I'm aware in that moment, I put the journal in my pocket. Why? Because I know later in the day, I'm going to be swept up with a whole bunch of stuff going on. And if I don't have that journal in my pocket, I will not journal. I will not journal. Now, I could journal in the morning, right? But I got what? I got a life. Here's my life. I got three kids. My wife and I get up and we're just like rolling. Oh, by the way, thank you guys who've watched the YouTube video. Super cool. Thank you so much for watching that. I hope you enjoyed it. Showing my morning routine, my morning smoothie. It's on Sid Garza Hillman's, my YouTube channel. Subscribe to it. I'm working on another one already. Okay? You can see what I do in the morning. I'm not hanging out. That's not me. When I'm retired, ever, if I'm ever retired, or if I'm living out of my minivan, maybe I'll have more time in my hands to journal in the morning. Right now, it's like get up and I'm getting out the door. But I do take moments like while I'm making my smoothie to kind of have little moments. I take advantage. Remember, steal the moments. I have a Steal the Moments episode. Go listen to that episode. Take moments when you can. When you're in a meeting at work, you may not be able to steal a moment. You've got to be focused on that meeting. But I'll guarantee you there are times, sorry to get scatological, but when you're going to the bathroom, you could take advantage of that time for 1 minute to just take a deep breath. Steal the moments when you can. Why? You cannot survive in the modern world if you're not aware ever. You will be beholden, like I've said, to advertising and marketing and light box foods and stagnancy because you don't have to move your body. But you can steal moments and take these little moments. So if I don't put that journal in my pocket, you know how I know? Because this is what happened, right? I go, oh, I'm resting my laurels. I go, okay, I'm cool. I got it. I got it down. The journaling is part of my life now. It's done. Obviously, it wasn't there. I'm going to digress. It's okay. It's okay because the value that I'm after is what comes from journaling. It's not that I have to journal every single day. It's that it adds to the quality of my life. Figure out what steps you're doing that are for that reason. Don't do a step because I told you to do a step or because somebody else said you should do this. Do it because you decide in your life what it is in your life that you want to enhance. If movement is something that you want to do, then add movement in a step that's so manageable you can't not do it most days. For me, it was journaling a sentence. Well, I've done it most days. I'm trying not to get on myself for missing a day. I'm trying to look at that and go, I wonder why. In fact, a day hasn't really sweated too much, but it was the 2 days in a row that I thought, okay, well, that's the first time. I want to look at that, not with judgment or criticism, but like real criticism, like look at with a critical eye and go, oh, okay, interesting. If it's in the case of movement, maybe your 5 minutes that you set is too much for you. How open are you when you say 5 minutes is too much? I think you're freaking open. I think that's so powerful, you have no idea. Nobody's setting the rules for you but you. Nobody's going, oh man, 5 minutes. That you should totally be able to do that. Why? Why should you totally be able to do 5 minutes when you're not used to doing 5 minutes, when you've done no movement at all? Why should you be used to even 5 minutes? You cannot get this process started unless you get the process started. If you set your step too big, you will not get it started. You'll do what most of us do, which is burn out because we set the steps too big. Okay? Use the moments where you have a little bit of awareness to take advantage of that moment so that you can use tools for when you're not aware. So here's what I do. I put the journal in my pocket. I have an alarm on my phone I've talked about before at 4:50 that says think. I leave notes if I need to. I leave reminders if I need to. You do those things. You don't necessarily have to do them for the rest of your life. You do those things until you become the person who does those things. In a sense, with small steps, you become a person who does those things right away. But over time, by continuing with the steps in your life, you become a person who does those things more automatically, just like you do things automatically now. They just may not be the things that are giving you greater health and happiness. And I've talked about, you know, teeth brushing. It's fantastic, obviously. But most of us don't have to leave reminders to brush our teeth. We built that behavior in, or it was built in for us over probably years by our parents. Go brush your teeth. Go brush your teeth. Go brush your teeth. Go brush your teeth. Go brush. You know, I know I'm in it with my kids. In hopes that that behavior becomes part of their lives, in hopes of what? That they have that's healthy teeth, right? So they don't have issues like that. You know, so in my family, there's the things like that with regards to movement and with regards to food that we're having conversations with ongoing. There's no end date. It'll happen when it happens. I'm hoping that my kids have enough of values like that instilled in them that when they're on their own, they know how to take care of themselves, or they value self-care. They value self-care, self-respect. They know that they're worth being taken care of, and they're darn sure, they darn well know why we feed them the food we do, because I communicate that to them. That's my job, to make them as healthy and happy as possible while they're under my control, while I'm their parent in that way. I'll always be their parent, but they're going to be adults, and when they're adults, they can make their own choices. But I'm hoping that they understand the value, just like with you. I want you guys to understand what it is to be in control of your lives. Then you can choose to do whatever you want. You can even choose to not be healthy. But I want it to be a choice. One of the tools is, you know, leaving the notes and leaving alarms. I've had a couple clients go on trips, and a lot of times they're on a really good path. Like, they're doing the things, they got the behaviors going, they got the small steps, we're working really well. Then they go on a trip, and you know how it is. Like, you're on a good routine, you go on a trip, it all breaks to hell, right? You go on a trip, you come back, your routine's been broken, you don't follow it anymore. So with some of my clients, I've advised them to leave themselves a note for when they return on the table that says to them, hope you had a good trip. This is what you were doing beforehand. Take a few minutes when you get settled and unpacked to assess what you're doing, because you want to stay in the game, because you've been feeling really good and taking control of your lives. And it was great that you had a trip, and I hope you had a great time. And now it's about having a great time in a different way. It's about getting back to really taking care of yourself in this everyday life way. So that when they walk in the door, they're not swept up into the modern world trappings and temptations. They are reintroduced to their lives that they chose for themselves. Not, the letter doesn't say, just do what Sid tells you again. It's think about what you were doing, reassess your steps. Maybe you have to back off a little bit because you just got back from your trip, but keep the forward momentum. Keep making choices in your life for the good of you, whatever those choices are. Okay? All right. Next. Okay? I wanted to get into this a little bit because a lot of times it comes up where the people are like, you know, just trust your body. Listen to your body. Okay? Period. I'm done with that subject. No, I'm joking. Water. That was water. It was 99 degrees where I did the talk. And I left the coast where it was 57. So I'm wearing like a thermal. I didn't even like, this is why I'm just so out of it. Like I'm on the, so we get in the car, we drive to like an hour and a half inland. We get out of the car, it's 99. And we were running a little late because of road construction. So we get out of the car and they're there to like greet us. And they're like, okay, we got it there. Everyone's waiting so that we like go into the room and we talk. We start the talk. It goes for 3 hours. I lost 17 pounds in 3 hours. Got that six pack I've always wanted. A little dehydrated. So now I was just drinking water. It was so hot. And it was just like, woo. I didn't want to excuse myself and, you know, take off my shirt. You know, that would have been a whole nother world. Anyway, so back to the trusting your body. You know that I'm an advocate of trusting your body in the abstract. My thing is, the more we get out of the way and give our bodies the tools our bodies need to survive and thrive, our bodies will do the job. We don't need to measure and count and weigh for our bodies. We don't need to do that. It doesn't work, actually, because we're doing that and we're getting less and less healthy. Trusting the body for me means you give your body the raw materials in the best form possible, which is heavy box foods, and don't sweat it. Your body will take care of the rest. But still, we live in the modern world, don't we? So another benefit of the small step philosophy is that you get back in touch with your body. When you take moments to think about your health and happiness, in a sense, you're checking in with yourself. And that, over time, is the way that you can actually truly trust your body. But if you're not checking in with yourself and you're kind of in the modern world with no awareness, you're going to make the argument that you crave Ben and Jerry's ice cream because you need calcium. I mean, that's going to be the argument you make. I've heard, you know how I know, I've heard it. Well, I just need, I mean, that sounds great to say, but I just need protein. I have to eat chicken because I just feel better with protein. My body tells me that I need more protein. Okay, well, if that were the case, you'd be eating kale because there's more protein in kale than there is in chicken. Trusting your body isn't in the context of the modern world pleasure center type foods. It's not going into McDonald's and going, I must need XYZ because I'm really craving a Big Mac. Hello. Trusting your body is understanding first and foremost the power that your body has to make its own best judgments in its own context, and just getting used to over time, this is the small step philosophy embodied, is in a sense what I'm having you ask yourself is, need anything? Hey, you need anything? And letting your body answer, need anything? Not, do you want anything? If you want chicken, of course your body's going, yeah, I'll take chicken. It's great. It's great, tastes great, gets me high. Need anything makes you go, well, you don't need a lot more calories because I can see this huge gut. So that's not something you need. But maybe I don't have a lot of energy. Maybe I'm feeling that da, 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 da. Maybe you need heavier box foods. I can tell, body, because you're not responding in ways that are in balance. So you might want, but I think you're telling me you need. I think you're telling me what you need with high blood pressure and high cholesterol and a weakened immune system and a weakened digestion. You need heavier box foods. You need the raw materials. You need less stress in your life. You need more awareness. You need more choice. You need a better job. You need a better relationship. And then it's less about what you feel like doing in the moment and more like what you realize you truly want in your life. I mean, there's a fine line between trusting your body and being fooled by the modern world that somehow your body is telling you what it needs when you're not in a place that you can actually listen for real. Now, are there times where I have, well, I don't even know. Look, I've had clients who, you know, they're so busy that they forget to eat for 4 hours, right? They're in meetings or they're doing that, and there's like 4 hours later, they're just like, I forgot to eat, my blood sugar, blah, blah, blah. So you have to, you can't really trust your body to eat when it's hungry in the context of the modern world, many of us, because we're surrounded by light box foods that our bodies are going to eat even if they're not truly hungry, and because we're so busy that sometimes we forget to eat, some of us. So we have to be, it always comes down to checking in with ourselves. The solution to all the modern world issues that occur for us as human beings, the solution in every case is more awareness and more attention to yourself, to your own health and happiness. Learning to check in with yourself is bigger than a glass of water that you're forcing yourself to drink on schedule. Now, if you have meetings straight through and the only time you can eat is at 10:30 because that's the only time you have a break, you may have to make that decision. You may have to put food in your body at 10:30 because you know that you've got 3 hours ahead of meetings and you're not going to be able to eat for the next 3 hours. That's a modern world issue. That's here we go. Ready? That may be the best you can do that day. That may be the best you can do that day. It's not about trusting your body. It's about, or it's listening like my body must need X, Y, Z. It's about learning how to serve yourself the best way you can. And saying, I may not be hungry right now. And I know that sounds counterintuitive, right? Because you're eating when you're not hungry, right? But that may be the schedule you have that day. I don't care. What I care about is that you enter your day and saying, what's the best I can do for myself? What's the best thing I can do in my day? What's the best thing I can do for my, how's the best, what's the best way I can treat myself today? Well, I've got meetings straight through. The best way I can treat myself is to eat even if I'm not hungry because I know that I've got 4 hours where I won't be able to eat. And so the best thing I can do for myself today is this. On another day, it may be that I'm at home and I don't have any meetings and I can kind of check in with myself and see if I'm hungry or not. Some days I don't have that luxury. Some days I do. You're in charge. You're making the decision. You're steering the ship. A diet steers you. The diet says, I don't care what schedule you got. Here's day four, brother. There's a shopping list. Just go buy those ingredients. And by the way, I've got some great pills for you to buy that'll really help you. Okay? Learning to check in with yourself and to say, do you need anything? Do I need anything? How am I doing? What message is that sending to you? Is it sending that you don't give a crap about yourself, or is it sending that you do? Is it sending that you're worth being taken care of, that you deserve respect, that you're going, do you need anything? Are you good? You got it? Are you cool? I mean, if you treated somebody else like that, they'd feel like a freaking king or queen. If you were just walking up to somebody, hey, you got everything you need? You're cool? How's that person going to be? They're going to feel taken care of, aren't they? And I've seen just tons and tons of people who are all about that kind of thing. They're ready to take care of everybody except for themselves. They're with everybody. You got everything you need? What can I get you? You got everything? Let me just dab to that. And meanwhile, their lives personally are falling apart because they're in conflict with their natural design, which is the body's going, hey, you know what? I am designed to take care of myself. What are you doing taking care of everybody but me? Take care of me so that we can do the business together of taking care of other people. But you got to take care of me first because I'm about to shut you down. I'm about to shut you down because I don't have the raw materials that I need to survive. All right? Okay, let's dive into this real quick. Not real quick, you know, as long as it takes. The subject of this podcast, the title anyway, is Don't Tell, Don't Ask. I couldn't do Don't Ask, Don't Tell because of that debacle. So I just changed it. I just morphed it around. You know why? I'm in charge of my title. My title's not in charge of me. I'm the small step advocate. I small stepped my way into that title. Don't tell, don't ask. From time to time, I touch on this, and I want to touch on it again. When you're in the small step world, and I hope that most, if not all of you are, or maybe somebody's not, and they're listening to this to get interest. Cool. When you're in it, it is not immediately measurable or quantifiable necessarily in the beginning. In the beginning, it's the setting the stage of the way that you think. Remember, I've already talked about that today in this episode. How you think, learning how to come at your life with I'm going to do the best I can for myself because I deserve it, because I'm worth it. I want to feel good and happy in my life. And when I'm in balance, my body will be in balance. My skin will be healthy. I'll have increased energy and my immune system will be strong and powerful. But first, I've got to learn how to take care of myself so that this can be forever and not just for 21 days. Because that is how this goes, it is not measurable or quantifiable. You don't usually lose 10 pounds in 7 days like you do on a cleanse. And so the don't tell, don't ask thing is, in a sense, this is kind of weird, right? As much as I want you to like spread the word about the podcast, right? Because I don't even know why. You don't even have to. You know, we got our crew here. We're all going to meet in like Miami at some point. Why Miami? My point is this. When you are involved in this process, I'm urging people to talk about it less. To don't ask other people what they're doing. I want you to go internal in this process. I want you to maximize the time with and for yourself. That's not what we're comfortable with in this world. We are taught to take care of others before ourselves. We're taught to, you know, this kind of thing. We're not used to that. You small step your way into self-care by adding small steps in fitness and in movement and in eating and in socializing and in connecting your body to the earth. You're small stepping your way into all those parts, into journaling and imminent meditation. But essentially, they're all learning. They're all about teaching yourself of who you truly are, and that's got to be about you. I don't even want you, I would love for you not to even tell people. You can tell people that you do, that you're a small stepping person, but don't get into details. Don't tell. Don't ask what other details are, because as soon as you broach that kind of subject, you're going, maybe I should do that. Or somebody else is going, maybe I should do that when they hear what you're doing. Or you might tell them that you're walking across a room and they might go, what the hell's that do? And that's just the very thing that sets you off in the first place. That's the very thing that keeps us from getting past our lives in the moment that they are in the first place. I mean, that's the kind of thinking that's keeping us down as human beings. That's the kind of thinking that keeps us from progressing as a species, is these kind of external, like, what does that do? Stalk of celery? That doesn't do anything. If you want to know if people are asking you or it comes up, just say, I'm adding in small steps. I'm teaching myself how to take care of myself better. Well, what are you doing? You know what? Stuff. I don't really want to talk about it. It's a way of thinking. And you can fill and tell them. You can fill in the blanks for yourself. But I'm teaching myself how to take care of myself, how to think about myself in a way that's going to bring me greater health and happiness and therefore is going to benefit the world and everybody that I come in contact with. But I don't want to get into the details. I don't want to talk about the details. Don't tell, don't ask. You spend more time with yourself than you do with anybody else. Just like I talk about with diet, I go food. I go, you eat more than you almost do anything else. We eat sometimes more than we sleep. So when you make small changes to your diet, like that stalk of celery that everybody thinks is so, ridiculous, that's a lot of celery over time. Small changes to food, because we eat so much, make a huge, profound difference. And I'm not even talking about the real difference it makes, which is that adding that act in is, again, one of self-care and one of self-respect and self-esteem and self-confidence. But it's that act. It's adding those acts in, and you also deciding which step you're adding in, that's you being in charge. As soon as you broach that kind of like, what are you doing? Then it's like you're putting it onto something else. Well, what I'm doing is I do 4 stalks of celery. Wow, crap. They're doing 4. I'm only doing 1. I should probably do more. God, I'm such a wimp. Can't even do 4. I'm only doing 1. That's pathetic. How can I only do 1? I'm walking across. That guy's going to the gym for 30 minutes a day. I'm only walking across my living room. God. I'm so lazy. And how quickly we fall into that thought process that got us there in the first place. Instead, achieving a certain amount of isolation allows in this process, that is, not social isolation, but in this process of keeping these things to yourself, that's why journaling is such a great tool for me. Keeps things internal. Trust me, there's plenty of external. There's plenty of stuff in your world that is all about other people and your job and everything external to you. I'm talking about the things that you keep sacred to yourself, because they're the things that make a difference. And when you start having conversations about them, they begin to be minimized. Okay? Don't talk about it. As much as you can, don't talk about it. Don't get into that minutia with people. They're going to be best served, trust me, by making decisions for themselves about what size steps they want to add into their lives. That's how it works. Sorry, I got statistics behind me. Diets don't. Okay? There's not. I don't think there's a podcast that goes, you know, 95% of small steppers fail. But diets, they work. More, eat more protein. Start with, count your calories, everybody. Let's get a calorie counter. That's exciting. That's pleasure. It's pleasure, right? You go, oh my God, this is so exciting. I'm going to see a huge difference in my body. Everyone's going to tell me how fantastic I look. Look at that jackass walking across his living room. Emily Christmas. That guy's a joke. I've been to spin class 8 times today. Cut to 5 years. I haven't gone to spin class in 5 years. Guys, now he's going to spin class every day. Because he worked his way in. He's like, yeah, I'm going to spin class. It's not stressful for me. Digging it. Love it. Used to do something else. Now I love spin class. I might change. There's no rules here. I might try something else. Who knows? I got a whole life open because I became an open person. I became a person that who can figure stuff out and to try anything, who can renegotiate and recalibrate whenever I want. I'm in charge. I want you to understand that our external worlds, if you notice, for most of us, we strive to make our external worlds as orderly as possible. Because essentially, I touched upon this earlier, we're not super comfortable with the modern world yet. We are striving for regularity and comfort because internally we are in chaos. Internally, we are wading through a modern world that we really do not understand and we are totally not comfortable with. We want the temperature just right. We want the food that we eat every single time to be prepared in ways that trip our pleasure center that are perfect. Right? When somebody goes, that's very hard to eat healthy. It's not hard to eat healthy. You might not be able to cook healthy because you aren't used to recipes, but that's different. It's easy to eat healthy. You just grab a ton of heavy box plants and eat them. You don't salt them, sugar them, nothing. Don't saute them, nothing. Just grab them off the shelf and eat them. It's easy. What's not easy is making them in a form that trips us up. It trips our pleasure center in the way that our grilled cheese sandwich trips our pleasure center. That's what we're talking about. Let's be clear. We want to prepare healthy food in ways that get us high in the same way that the non-healthy foods do. At least understand that. It's easy to eat. Gorillas expend no effort to eat healthy. Elephants expend no effort to eat healthy at all. We would expend no effort to eat healthy in the wild. We would just eat food that we found, and it would be healthy because there's nothing refined and no packaged and no processed and no preservatives and no junk and no added flavorings and added sugar and added salt. Dehydrated water out of the food and everything else. We would just eat it. It's easy. In the modern world, it's difficult because we don't want to just eat healthy. We want to eat healthy in a way that get us high, like the unhealthy food we're eating. That is tough. I agree with it. That's super hard to do. One of the many things that Small Steps does for you and us is it makes you more aware of the things from which we are trying to distract ourselves. So we try to make our external worlds orderly so that we can get the pleasure and live in the external worlds in ways that we don't have to deal with what's going inside of us, but there's one little hitch. There's one little hitch, everybody. It doesn't make us happy. And by the way, you know, breakups, things that we go through that are like traumatic or dramas in our lives, one of the things that we don't like about those things is that what do we do? We become present immediately. When something bad happens to us, we get fired from our job, it's, guess what? Harder for us to distract ourselves. All of a sudden, we're like, I really want this, you know, breakfast club. That's a bad example because I'll just go that right there. I don't care. Armageddon. If I flip on breakfast club, I'm whatever. I can't even, Breakfast Club will actually distract me from the movie Armageddon. That's amazing because that's like the worst movie ever. We have a harder time distracting ourselves when that balance is sort of like the extreme happens, like the extreme bad thing happens. We have to go way farther on the other side to distract ourselves. We can't just go to our normal Ben and Jerry's in the freezer when we've, you know, just gotten a divorce or something really traumatic in our lives. The reason why we hate that kind of stuff is because we're there. Like we want to get away from that. Of course we do. I get it. It's not a normal state for us to be present. We don't, it's not in the modern world, you don't have to be present. And when something bad like that happens, you're forced to be present. A loved one's in the hospital. You would love to check out, but you've got to deal with this stuff. And most of us are not equipped to do that in a way that is easy or comfortable for us. We're not prepared to do that. But guess what prepares you? The small step approach prepares you. And only it prepares you if you keep it inside and do the work that's not hard work in a, you know, like a expenditure of energy kinds of things, but it is thinking and it is hard to be present. So you ease your way in through journaling and through imminent meditation and taking deep breaths during the day whenever you can. Start that process of thinking. Just say, what's the best I could do today? Maybe you don't do any of those things, but you begin to ask that question every day. We seek that regularity in the external world so that we don't have to deal with what's inside of us. For me, when I was training for the last marathon, I decided I wasn't going to do like podcasts, which, you know, podcasts are fantastic, by the way. They're the best. But I wasn't going to do music or podcasts on the run. I wanted to work through the, you know, if you guys want to read my article, Mind, Body, Green, How I Turned My Run Into a Meditation. That was kind of that. That was the documentation of that process for me. Was I know conceptually that I love running. It's the time that I have to myself. I value that. Why would I want to check out during that little moments where I actually have time to think? Why am I checking out even then? And when I would not run with a podcast or music, which was most of the time, I don't think I ever did, or at least not for most of the runs, sometimes it's just like, oh my, I just felt myself wanting to check out. I just want to turn it off. And so I wanted to be aware of that, and I wanted to think, you know what? I kind of like the idea of me being a guy who runs and uses this time to think. And I asked you guys to ask yourselves, what do you like the ideas of? What do you like the ideas of? I like the idea of having a flat stomach. I like the idea of having a bunch of energy. I like the idea of creating things. I like the idea of painting. I like the idea of writing a book. What do you like the idea of? I like the idea of that I can go for a run. I like this idea. I go for a run and contemplate and think and breathe, relax. I like that idea. And that's another way to establish the values in your life that give your life meaning. The more you get your internal house in order by these ways of thinking, by less telling and asking other people what they're doing and what you're doing and having these conversations in this regard. I'm not talking about being a recluse. I'm not talking about growing your nails super long and your hair really long and, you know, bottling your own urine. I'm talking about just in this regard, in the small step approach to your own health and happiness. Relate to everybody in the world and relate to your friends and family and your coworkers and all the things that are awesome for you and us in the modern world. But when it comes to your ability as a human being to increase your own health and happiness, it is 100% about you. And the more you act in line with that fact, the better you're going to do. If you try to make it about other people or what they're doing or letting them know what you're doing, you're diminishing this process. So just be aware of that. Now, do I like the social aspect of things like Weight Watchers? I do. But what I would say is, in the don't tell, don't ask, don't get into specifics. If you have a friend who wants to increase his or her health and happiness, and you introduce them to this podcast, or they know it, or whatever, and you want to do this with them, do it. But don't get into the specifics. Have discussions about how to best figure out steps that work for each of you, that are completely different steps for each of you. Work around and through the framework of self-care and self-respect, the framework of decision-making that is in self-service, that is truly selfish, that is establishing a self that is worth taking care of. Work through that person, have discussions about that. How do we take care of ourselves better? And you get together once a week and you go, yeah, I was really thinking about that and I journaled. Not what you journaled about. Make that personal. Make that about you. Don't tell, don't ask. But yeah, I journaled and I had to recalibrate. One of my steps, I, I had to back off on because I realized I wasn't. It's great. I think that's fantastic. I mean, that's, in a sense, that's my job. I mean, that's what you do with me for a month. We have those conversations because that part of our lives, I think, is also natural. That tribal aspect, I think, to shared experience is just hugely valuable. But if you get into the specifics, then you're essentially doing the, what diet are you on? Oh yeah, what diet? Here's what I did. I did that. Oh, you haven't tried the cleanse? Have you done the cayenne pepper and lemon juice? Oh no, I didn't. Let me try that. And you're losing these amazing opportunities to understand yourself better. And the more you understand yourself, the more you get your internal house in order, the less, wait for it, the less you have to be distracted from, the less you need to seek distraction. The more your house is in order, the less conflict that you're living in, the less internal turmoil and anger and resentment, the less we have to be distracted from, the less energy we have to expend figuring out how to distract ourselves every day, every minute, every second. You cannot get your house in order when you are asking and telling everybody about what you're doing to make your life better. You can't do it. It's externally guided energy. Take it in. Don't tell, don't ask. Take small steps. Write yourself a note that says, I'm in charge. Write yourself a note that says, I'm working to be healthier and happier. And put it on your mirror. So you get up in the morning and you go, ah, yeah. I was just in my head of all the things I got to do today, but I'm going to take this 5 seconds and go, yeah, that's right. What can I do for myself today? What's the best thing I can do? Watch that change over time. The best you can do today is going to be very different from the best you can do 6 months from now. You want to guarantee from me? I'm not going to guarantee you 10 pounds in a month because it doesn't stick and that's not what it's about. I can guarantee you that you begin this process of self-knowledge and small step, your steps and your best will be different in 6 months and the way you think about your life will be different even after a month. Period. I've seen it every single time. Do you have something external to show somebody necessarily after that month? No, it's internal for the most part. Eventually it becomes external because your body just becomes a manifestation of your inner balance. You've got your house in order. You got your inside house in order. Your outside sets right as a result of that. Your body sets, it becomes that thing for you. It manifests your internal state. All right? All right, you guys. You're doing great. As always, thank you for the emails. podcast@sidgarzahillman.com. And I think you guys know where I'm going to be next week. Right here. On the Approaching Natural podcast. All right. Thank you guys. Be well.
Step foot into this black cave. Couldn't light it up and trying to leave. The exit crawls and just crawls. Ladder moves just out of reach. Have you found a way to breathe amidst the smoke and choking wind against the ceaseless display? Unwavering. I'm still curious, not free. I have two more days to pray.